Welcome, everyone, to a fresh edition of GTF, Gabriel Talks Football, with my man, Greg Gabriel. We'll begin shortly. Just want to remind everyone that we have a full slate of programming throughout the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the best way to stay on top of things is to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you watch us on YouTube, either on demand or live, or to subscribe to our audio podcast. This show, for instance, will be available in audio-only format on Apple's, Spotify, and so forth. So subscribe to the channel there and leave us a review. In fact, I insist that you leave us a 5-star review because we are that good, especially this man here. His name is Greg Gabriel. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How about you?
I am doing pretty well, although battling allergies, you know, that time of the season where things are starting to grow and I'm sniffling and sneezing, blah, blah, blah.
Wait, but that's enough of me. That's funny you said that. What's the date today? March 4th, right?
Yeah.
Saturday night, I get a National Weather Service blurb on my phone. You know, it says weather warning. Because of the heat and dryness, there is in the area for the next 24 hours, there's wildfire. There could be wildfire problems or wildfire, warning. And I just started laughing. I go, it's freaking March 4th. And they're sending out something they usually send out in August.
Yeah, that's right. Who knows? You know, it's a conspiracy, right? It's the climate change conspirators.
I just say yay for global warming. I only had to pay the plow guy 3 times this year.
Notorious says, Greg looks like he had a good cup of Joe this morning. They were raring to go.
No, I don't drink coffee.
Don't drink coffee, but he did take a little nap because you woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning, right?
No. 2 a.m. in the morning.
And yeah, okay, that's right.
30, and so I thought, I can't fall back asleep, so I had to do my work for some people. I did 3 reports, and then I said, okay, now I'll try to go to sleep. Slept a little, but, you know, when you do that, you're just so damn tired.
Indeed.
And I got my grandson's birthday party tonight. He's 7.
Oh, nice. So. Nice. Greg, I got to tell you, I'm going to start the show this way. On, what was it, Friday? Yeah, I guess it was Friday because you were on Pat the Designer's show and I didn't get a chance to see it.
That was a lot of fun, by the way.
I heard it. Yeah, you tweeted it out saying you had a blast. And all of a sudden, I open up Twitter late Friday night, you know, like 7, 8 p.m., and I see your name trending on X, Twitter. And so I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And so... apparently, your performance on Pat the Designer exploded with people, you know, commenting on your thoughts on Caleb Williams, whether they were positive thoughts or negative thoughts. You really kind of helped blow up the social media app named X. So you want to tell us?
I'm going to speak how I feel. I'm going to be very genuine. And what I say, and you already know this, but just saying it for the audience. This is if, you know, go back when Jerry and I are working together. It's exactly what I'd be saying to Jerry and the conversations we'd be having with Jerry. Okay. And that was my job to do that. I'm not going to change any of that. Okay. Right. Because I spent a long time doing this my whole adult life. People want to attack me. Oh, you're an old geezer and all this shit. You're out of touch with the early. Well, you know what? Kiss my ass. So if you don't like it, watch something else or read something else. But I'm not going to bullshit you. I'm going to give you the honest opinion.
Right. Well, and so I want to start the show with this because, of course, the number one topic everywhere. I'm surprised they don't start the CBS Evening News with this and all of the network news programs. Because everyone, of course, is talking about the Caleb Williams situation with the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. And so is there anything that happened at the combine that you heard that has swayed your opinion one way or another on Caleb Williams and your concerns about his character?
Well, I thought that Caleb's PR team deserves a round of applause. They did a great job trying to, you know, him, let me back up a little. Him skipping the medical was a huge negative around the league. Okay, that's fact. First player in the 40 years of the combine that's ever done that. Okay, now I've heard some people on the radio, Bernstein, one of them. Well, why should he submit to 32 different physical examinations? Well, obviously, these people don't have any idea how the physical works at the combine. So let's spend a couple minutes and talk about that. Because you don't go into 32 different rooms and have 32 different physicals and get poked and prodded by 32 different doctors asking 30, you know, the same questions time after time after time. Okay, you have two types of exams. You have an internal medicine exam and you have an orthopedic exam. Okay, the internal medicine thing, which is, you know, your EKG, your blood work, all that type of stuff. All the doctors, all the team doctors are together in one room. They're sharing all this information. You're getting one EKG, not 32. Right. It's kind of ridiculous. So, and the whole thing, if the guy's in good health, he's done in less than an hour for everything. Mm-hmm. So know what he did to himself now? He's got to go through it seven or eight times or every how many teams want to bring him in. Okay, so he actually, instead of using a couple hour of his time one day, he's got to do this on every visit he goes to. That's stupid, in my opinion. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, the orthopedic exams are a little bit different, but still relatively minimal, especially if you've been clean. Supposedly, he's been clean. They get the medical records from the schools. Used to be, you know, we used to get all that stuff, meaning the scouts. We turned mm-hmm. in, but now, you know, because of the HIPAA laws and everything else, the trainer, so the medical department from the school football program, sends the medical records to the National Football League, and they're at the combine. So everybody gets a copy of the stuff, and it's not, you know, changing hands a gazillion times, which, you know, with the laws the way they are today, that's fine and that's fair. But if you've got anything on those records, you know, let's say you had a knee injury or an ankle injury or whatever, had a surgery, they're going to MRI that. I mean, they're going to MRI it basically as soon as you get off the bus coming from the airport. You know, they do it right away. Done in the stadium, they've got portable MRI machines. And then when they built the stadium, they did a little feature about this during the combine. They got wiring underground that goes directly to the hospitals to read these things. I mean, it's
pretty cool
set up. So it's very, very, very efficient. And the MRI machines are on the trailers. A bunch of trailers come in, semi-trailers that had, you know, like I think a couple MRI machines per trailer. And they can get a lot done because they do. Last time I was involved, there was over 600 MRIs done for 330. It used to be 340, 345 people. This year it's 321. So basically it gets down to almost two MRIs per player when you average it out. And they found a very efficient way to get it done by doing it right at the stadium. We used to have to send the guys out to the various hospitals in the Indy area, and that took a lot of time. So now it's done right there, done efficiently, done quickly. But anyway, with the ortho exams, instead of having one room, there's five. And there is six or seven teams in each room. Okay, so then you got your total of 32 teams. The doctors in those rooms, it's the same room year after year after year after year. Doesn't change. I know two of the teams with the Bears are Miami and Pittsburgh. I don't remember what the other ones are, but I sat in on scores and scores and scores of these medicals. That was, you know, part of my job. And they have... So you got six or seven teams there. I think in the Bears case, there were six. Only one doctor examines the player. The other guys are taking notes. And there could be two players in there at the same time, but the other guys are taking notes. And if an MRI was done when the player came in, they already got the results of the MRI. They're looking at it, examine the knee, examine the shoulder, examine his feet. He's done. It's quick. Okay, then he goes to the next one. You can get it, unless there's an issue, you probably go through all five rooms, 45 minutes to an hour. So, I mean, this myth that, you know, you're getting poked and prodded by everybody, that's just totally false. It doesn't exist.
It's one of the most, you know, there's one thing about the NFL, what they do is, you know, you got all these multi-gazillionaire owners that for the most part are probably Republicans and conservatives, but they practice socialism in the National Football League.
I've said that for years.
Everything is shared. You know, so
that's right. TV money, everything.
Everything. That's hilarious. I was trying to talk communism, but it's socialism.
It's socialism. Yes. So, that's so true. You know,
everything is done very, very efficiently. So just to not do that was just defiance, for lack of a better word. You know, it gets down to, I'm doing it my way. I'm Caleb Williams. I'm the best prospect there ever was in the history of the draft. Now, we could probably go through all 40 combines and find out a few Hall of Fame players.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than a few, right?
Yeah.
And so he's not the best. Great. Now, my problem with Caleb has nothing to do with talent. His talent is rare. I give that. It's from here on. So
you're concerned about some of his behavior, right? Now, let me interrupt you.
Personally,
let me interrupt you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
Behavior, personality, lack of leadership, entitlement, spoiled, that type of thing. Okay. Right. Is that what you want in your franchise quarterback? And a lot of these, you know, the Caleb clan is, I don't care because he's so good. Well, guess what? How many of these guys fail? We can go back to Jameis Winston, which wasn't that long ago. He was supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, I did a show on ESPN. I think it was a 30 for 30 or one of those things. And Joe Banner was on too, the former president of the Eagles and the Browns. And there was Joe and myself and somebody else. And you know, they had come here to record it. Gone to Joe's record it. They put this whole thing. They talked to the Florida State coaches and some high school coaches, you know, getting a whole different perspective. And Jameis had issues, if you recall, and it took nothing. His talent up here. Well, what has he been as a pro? I'm not going to say he's a bust, but he's pretty damn close to one.
Right.
He's in the journeyman category, never lived up to the expectations. You'd say the same thing with Kyler Murray. You know, and that's what a lot of people compare Caleb to, is Kyler Murray. Same type of attitude, personality, entitlement, spoiled, whatever. But with a lot of talent. If you hit on the talent and the guy grows up and matures, you got yourself a pretty good player. If he doesn't, you're fired. You know, I was watching Brandon Bean. Did you see any of his interview during the combine?
No.
You know, they had periodic general managers come in and talk with DJ and Eisen. So he's talking about it, and they said, well, walk us through the process of taking Josh Allen. Because there's people down on Josh Allen when he came out. Never threw better than 57% in college. Really played poorly against good teams. But his character was off the charts. There's no question about that. But anyway, he just said, look, we really like the kid. We went out to – he was at the Senior Bowl. We spent probably 45 minutes with him at the Senior Bowl. You know, we had a good chat with him. Then we set up a private workout, went out to the University of Wyoming. You know, first we
First, we brought him into a boardroom at the hotel we were staying, spent hours and hours with him, had him on the board, talked to him, and then we did the workout. We were locked in. That's the guy we were taking. So I think Eisen said, well, what if it was the wrong guy? He goes, then I would have been fired. Mm-hmm. He was real simple about it. Yeah. And so, and that's the risk Ryan has. And I said it to some guys. I got a group chat I'm in on Twitter. I DM it with about 7 or 8 other guys. And that's what Poles is in. He may be in a no-win situation. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't, which I'm sure he doesn't want to be in. But I know one thing. He's going to do what he honestly feels is the best thing for the Bears. One way or the other, he's going to get criticized, regardless of what that is. There's going to be a section of the Bears fan base that will disagree. There's going to be a section of the fan base that's going to totally agree with them. But reality is, it's how it plays out, and we're not going to have the answer to that for a couple of years.
Right. Evie in the chat room says that Caleb's behavior at the combine, she writes, that's his dad trying to change the NFL. Hope his dad doesn't ruin this kid's career. So I think the name of his dad is Frank Williams. Have you heard anything that you can share?
Carl Williams, I think.
I apologize to Mr. Williams.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. He wants to do it his way.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to, I told you, the one guy told me last week, I might have had it on our show last week.
Yes.
And he has spent a lot of time with dad and the kid. Kid thinks he's the best prospect ever. Okay, you want to have that confidence. But he is not good with criticism, and he's going to do it totally his way. He does not like that anybody gets credit for his success. Okay, that's, you know what? You don't have any success unless you got help from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want a coach taking credit for his success.
That's not right.
Okay, so now people are going to say, you're biased. No, I'm being honest. I'm being honest from what I heard. If I heard something different, I'd say it. I got my feelings, and I'm going to present my feelings. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Am I going to lose even 5 seconds of sleep over it if I'm wrong? No. It's a fucking game.
I've got about 10 questions in the chat room. We will get to them all, I promise you.
Yeah, let's get into this thing about the visit.
Let's get it. Well, hold on a second. I do want to play a soundbite from Caleb talking about, you know, some of the things that you have criticized him for. Him, you know, crying on his mother's shoulder for 15 minutes, for him not facing the media and so forth. He was asked that question, and this is what he said.
Like I said, I'm a competitor. I like to win. And so, you know, being that close to losing was difficult for me. But, you know, I had people in my corner to help me and figure out, you know, the energy and feeling that I was feeling. I learned either you grow from something like that, and Lincoln sat me down after maybe our loss to Utah, I believe, and he sat me down and he said, either you grow from something like this or you keep feeling this feeling and, you know, you'll stay where you are.
Greg, I found that to be an impressive response to those criticisms. Here's a highly competitive athlete. You've been around a million of them, who sometimes their actions betray who they really are. And so I wonder, listening to him there, do you feel a little bit like, okay, maybe I understand a little bit more who he is?
No, I agree. He's highly competitive. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like I said, I started getting involved in this game when I was 8 years old, 1959. Yeah, that's how old I am. And been involved ever since.
I have never once seen a player seek out mama, and that includes a 9-year-old, a 15-year-old, or a 20-year-old, or whatever, and cry for 15 minutes or 10 minutes, however long it was, and then refuse to talk to the media. I've seen guys refuse to talk to the media, you know, because they're PO, but, you know, never cry in front of literally millions of people like he did. And it's just like, what the hell is this that I just saw? But, you know, I want to get into this thing on Tuesday.
Okay.
The Bears have the number one pick in the draft. There's only one team that Caleb Williams really needs to impress and should do anything that they want. And that's Chicago Bears. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a given. And so the Bears, while they're meeting with him, and I've heard a couple different versions of this, so I don't know what the hell is true. But it was during the meeting, we want to bring in Tuesday as one of our 30 visits. Mm-hmm. And I think originally he may have agreed. Okay, now part of the reason is you want to get the medical, but the main reason is you got 20 minutes maximum at these interviews at the combine. With a quarterback, you're not getting anything done. Okay, you need hours and hours with the quarterback. You got to get them on the board. You got to really get into their head, find out what they know about football. You have them dissect some of their own plays. You teach them you do like an install session where you're teaching your own plays, things like this nature. So then you can find out, okay, how quickly does he process? Does he learn and retain real quickly? Because what they do, you know, I may draw three plays for you, four plays, and you're supposed to be taking notes. Then we'll go on to something else for 10 minutes and come back. Okay, come on. Just, you know, those plays I gave you, put them up on the board and explain them to me just the way I did. Right. You know, and it's not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And there's quarterbacks that are totally, look, there's one who went the first round and other people couldn't believe it. I can't remember what the kid's name was. He was a big, tall kid from Memphis. A few years ago, that had was cannon that arm.
Paxton Lynch, was that?
Might have been. When he got on the board, he was freaking clueless. He had no idea because he had played basically in the same offense his whole career. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of concepts. He just had no idea what, you know, the coaches were talking about when he got into the interview process. I think Denver ended up taking him.
It is Paxton Lynch, yes.
So these things are telling. I've sat in these interviews, so I know what they're like. I've been in several of them, and they're very, very telling. You find out how the player's brain works, and you get a pretty good idea of his thought process and how much he's into the game, because if he makes a mistake, which I've seen several times, when he's going through this and then he's drawn it up and he makes a mistake, he's pissed, you know, because he made a mistake. They don't, you know, they're all in some way, you know, perfectionists. They want to be good. So if you see a guy that kind of blows it off or doesn't know or understand things, you know, it's a red flag because, you know, you got to deal with this. And when you're in the NFL, you're doing it at the highest, most sophisticated level. You know, the offenses in the NFL are like 1,000 times more sophisticated than what they were doing in college. Mm-hmm. So not a doubt in my mind, the Bears wanted to get this out of the way right away. Number one, look under the hood. Is there anything wrong with them physically? Probably not, because I don't know of any injuries. That doesn't mean there hadn't been. But there's one thing, too, that's very important that people seem to miss the point. And this has happened several times over the years of the combine. And it has nothing to do with the orthopedic exam. It has to do with the internal medical exam. They find out the player's got a condition to such a point where they're potentially saving the guy's life because they get him going in the right direction and get it corrected. Could be a heart murmur, could be, you know, a lot of different things. And
often it doesn't end a guy's career. It actually extends the guy, his career, or helps him, because they had no idea they had this. And it's found, get them on the right meds, get them doing the right things, and they take care of it. So why do you want to balk at having that done? You're not going to get a more thorough physical examination the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know who Randy Mueller is, right? He worked at the XFL.
Very, very well. He's your good friend.
Okay. So he was, let me find this little bit of video here. He was interviewed on the Hogue and Johns podcast. And this is what he said about Caleb and the
Bears. What boxes do you think the Bears have left to check on Caleb Williams?
Not much. I mean, they have their board set. They know how their evaluations are. They know how their people have felt about him throughout the fall. I kind of went through the same process this fall as I would have as a GM. I looked at a lot of tape. I went to a game live. I've seen him interact. I've talked to enough scouts who have gathered the intangible information. I don't see any red flags. So I think the biggest maybe hurdle that the Bears have from now until April is to not get talked out of something they already know.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to Randy's comments there?
No reaction. That's his opinion and his belief, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that I heard a lot of stuff that gives me a lot of negative reaction.
Mm-hmm. And I guess how I want to ask this is because I had a number of people reach out to me on social media, and they feel that you're being unfair because you won't reveal what those things are. And I understand you not revealing. I understand you not revealing sources because sources are your sources. You don't want to ruin those sources, but you hear information and you digest it and you share it in the best way you possibly think. But that has infuriated a lot of your followers and a lot of fans because they feel like you're denigrating Caleb without totally painting a picture as to why you're
upset. There's a time and a place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you're going to put out negatives, I'm going to do it at the right time and at the right place. Positive is easy. Okay. So I have never deviated from the talent. I have deviated where my problem is selfishness, entitlement, not a leader, things that are all, you listen to polls, you listen to floofs, they all put up here, especially with the quarterback. And we've heard it said 1,000 times. Okay, so that's a problem with me. Okay, people don't want to believe it, so I'm an asshole. Fine. If you don't like it, don't listen. I don't care. You know, it's no skin off my back.
I love it. You know what? I think more people think that I'm an asshole than people think you're an asshole, and I have half the followers on social media. So you're doing good, Greg. Okay.
You know, there is in reality, you know, the negative comments I get are really from a very few people. When you look at the big picture, I mean, I bet you it's not even 100, but it's the same group day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, now, they're keyboard warriors. They're entitled to say whatever they want. I just laugh at it and then I'll throw it right back at them.
Absolutely. Did you get a chance to see the entirety of Caleb Williams' press conference, or at least a big portion of it? Okay. Well, Tim Willis, I'll ask his question anyways. He says, Greg, I was recently labeled a Justin Fields cult member for voicing my concerns, and Tim does a show here on the Barroom Network on Friday at 5 p.m. Central, voicing his concerns following Caleb's combine interview. Do you agree that he seems uninspired to play in Chicago based on his body language? So I'll change that question up a bit since you didn't get to see the interview, but do you think that he would rather play elsewhere other than Chicago?
Absolutely, 100%.
And why is that?
Well, first of all, you look at the history of quarterbacks in Chicago, and it isn't very good.
That's true.
I think he wants to play in his hometown.
Washington.
Aaron Lemming says that he's talked to some people that were with Caleb in Oklahoma and said he doesn't want to play in Washington. Well, I don't agree with that, because I know Dad wants him to be in Washington. And Dad is the CEO. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the one thing I've heard about his dad, that, you know, people want to kill the dad. What I understand, very, very, very intelligent man. Also, very wealthy man. He's done very well for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Successful. He's gotten his own mind the way he wants to do it. Is he trying to buck the system? Yes. Okay. Is it going to work? Maybe. Who knows? Is the league kind of anti-bucking the system? Yes. We all know that. So, but I find it odd. Like I said, there's been over, if you go, there's been, the combine started in January 2085 was the very first one. Mm-hmm. It was literally the week after Super Bowl 19, which was Miami, and I don't remember who the other team was. And it was out at Arizona State. Since then, there's been a combine every year except 2021 because of COVID. There has been a medical combine every year because they, in 2021, they brought all the guys that would have been at the workout part and all that. They brought them into Indy in early April for a medical. They were in and out real quick. And so when you look at the number of people about, it's well over 13,000, closer to 13,500. That's the very first one that said, no, I ain't taking one.
Interesting.
That doesn't sit good with me.
Yeah. Maybe Swifty had a question. Swifty was here early to get this question. And if you're not watching the Swiss Sports Network, what's wrong with you? He does great work. Follow him Swifty's on YouTube. Great. Yep. Question for Greg. Greg, have you ever heard of a team scheduling an interview so early after the combine with a player? How rare is it? Isn't it usually after pro days?
Usually. Not 100%, but usually. And right now, I mean, the pro days are getting pushed back. You know, pro days generally would start this week, and there probably are some this week. Mm-hmm. But it's like all the top guys are pushed back, you know, like in the last week of March, all the quarterbacks are within like a 4-day period or 5-day period. You know, the top quarterbacks, the top four quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And starting at around the 20th of March or something. So, but, you know, my feeling on quarterback pro days, they're as useless as a quarterback throwing at the combine. And if you saw how that worked, you know, I'm sure a lot of people did. I mean, it just makes no sense how they work that. Two throws, go to the back of the line, wait. You have no idea who you're throwing to. You've never worked with a guy before. So it's not set up to make the quarterback look good.
Mm-hmm.
Then the pro day, on the other hand, where at every other position, when you go to a pro day, and I've been to literally thousands of them, the coaches are involved. The coaches run the workout, okay? And they work really well together because they're going from school to school to school, the same group of guys. So you get to see the same things, and you know which guys do what. There used to be a member, a defensive lineman who played for Cincinnati, Tim Crumry. Well, Tim, mm-hmm.
yeah,
when
yeah.
he became a coach, Tim would do this like wrestling thing with the kid. He'd be the last guy with the defensive lineman to do it. And it would go on. And like his shirt would be, he had to have like five shirts with him a week because his shirt would be torn and everything else. And he just worked these guys to death doing this wrestling stuff. And he just wanted to see what the stamina was. But he was taking part in it, too, and he was always in good shape.
Right.
I don't know what the hell he got out of it, but it was fun to watch. And he was really, really looking for competitive nature to see if there was quit in the guy. But anyway, get back to what I was saying. At a quarterback pro day, the NFL coaches have no involvement. They sit around the sidelines and watch, because the only guy running that is the guy's quarterback guru. He scripts the workout. You're going to have 55, 60 throws. It's been rehearsed, probably been rehearsed 5 or 6 times, even to the point of what guys he's throwing to on what play. So it should be an outstanding workout because of that. And most of them are. A guy has a bad pro, a quarterback has a bad pro day, that's the red flag, because you know what went into getting ready for it. When you have a private workout, now the kid has no idea what's coming next. He doesn't have any idea what's going to happen 5 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Because you're doing classroom work and you're doing stuff on the field. He doesn't know what you're going to ask him to do on the field. So now, he's in a comfort zone doing the pro day. He's not in any kind of comfort zone doing a private workout. So that's why they're important. But to get back to Swifty's question, I think the answer to why they did it, I think, is that they've got to find out what's up here.
Right.
And they want to find out today. They don't want to wait 3 more weeks.
Right.
And that's why they did it. And because they've got other decisions being determined on this, by this. And so now they're getting pushback, say, 3 weeks. I don't even think a private workout in his case is that important for the pro day. We know he can throw the freaking football.
Right.
Okay. So what else are you going to learn? It's what's going on in his head. That's the most important thing. And find out as much about him, because it's going to get down to this. Either I want him or I don't want him, based on that. And so I think it's very fair of the Bears to want to do that. And then by him refusing, what's he got to win by refusing, besides nothing? That's the only team he should be worried about.
Because they have the number one pick, which he has stated. That's been a goal.
So why am I not going to do every single thing they want?
Right.
And comply. Well, because I don't think he really wants to play here. So if you're uncooperative, and it's like, what do I got to do? Now, I don't know if we talked about last week. It's out there that, they don't have an agent, but the dad has hired. Did we talk about this last week?
I don't think so.
Okay. Dad has hired a agent / attorney, so guy who is both.
Okay.
And as an advisor, signed to do an agent contract. Reason being is to look into the possibility, feasibility, whatever, of challenging the CBA in place as far as his rookie contract. In other words, he doesn't want the slotted number one
salary
paycheck that's already set in stone. It's based on it goes up. It'll be more than Bryant Young got last year, than Young got last year. And because it's based on what the salary cap goes up, it'll probably be up 10% higher anyway than what Young got last year. He wants his own figure. He wants to go back and get remember the big Matthew Stafford contract that was sure. Crazy when Detroit, okay, that's before they put in the rookie pool. So problem is he can look into the feasibility all he wants. That is a no win for him. He can't, it's a collective collectively bargained for agreement between the union and the league. It isn't changing. They can challenge it all they want, and nothing will happen.
So let me understand this correctly. There is a buzz out there that Caleb Williams wants to change the norms of pay for players who are drafted in the number one overall slot because he feels
he wants to change it for him.
For him. So because he feels his value is substantially more than right. any other previous number one draft pick. Well, now, I
know who the agent attorney is. Mm-hmm. I got a text. Let me look. I'll tell you what day I got the text about this.
And I think, you know, there's some people here who are questioning some of your allegations here, for instance.
Okay, I got the text at 7:29 a.m. on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, do you feel that he feels entitled as PZ's ath?
Oh, not a doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to say I'm full of shit. Go ahead. I know I'm not. Because the people I get it from are, you know, high-ranking decision makers. And what's funny is, you know, I got this GM sent it to me, unsolicited, by the way. I didn't ask for it. And then I sent a text to an agent friend of mine. You know who I'm referring to.
I do.
I said, this is what so-and-so told me. Is mm-hmm. this fact? And he said, yes. So now I'm going to read you. He said, unsure about the name you mentioned, meaning the attorney slash agent, but yes, true to everything else. So then I get a text from him a little bit later. Let me dig through it here. His first reaction was, he says, I know a lot and much of that is true. Not sure about, and that's the agent's name. Okay, mm-hmm. So about an hour later, hour and a half later, he sends me a text. Funny. Ran into a teen guy at the airport, and he said the exact same thing.
Zach asked the question, could this GM that you heard from be interested in drafting Caleb Williams?
No.
You know, because a lot of times people do that, right? They plant seeds. You know, hopefully Greg will share this with everyone and lessen the value.
I have a relationship with at least a half a dozen current GMs. Mm-hmm. Scott Furter just got fired, so that would have been another one. Jerry Reese was one. But, you know, there's a bunch that I got very, very good relationships with that I can pick up the phone and ask them anything. And if they're able to give me the answer, they will.
A lot of people.
Okay, Nick Foles says, I believe Ryan pulls over Greg every day of the week. What's Ryan said? Besides nothing.
Right.
Right? Has Ryan said anything?
Not regarding Caleb Williams, other than they want to check to see who he is.
So, Mo, what's the point of that question? You can write in your answer.
Well, I think Mo is just, for instance, he says here, Greg is a hater just hoping he won't be proven wrong.
If I'm wrong, I could care less.
Yeah, I think
still
that's
get up in the morning. I'm still going to do this job. I don't care. If I'm wrong.
There have been a handful of negative.
I'm the best for this football team. I do not want the wrong guy to get drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want Jay Cutler coming into the building again. Okay?
Oh,
is that
my God.
An easy way to say it? Cutler, that's what I'm trying to compare him to.
Jay Cutler was a freaking cancer in that building.
I think Swifty nails it too. Says some people just dislike opinions that are different than theirs. There is confirmation bias running rampant with many people. I know I have it sometimes. Somebody asked a good question. Let me see if I saved it here. Oh, here it is. This is from Flex Sticks. Greg is completely negative on Caleb, but positive on the 23rd worst quarterback in the NFL. Got it. So how do you answer that question when people are comparing Caleb's potential to what Justin has done in 3 years in the NFL?
I'm going to go back to what I've been saying ever since the season ended. We've talked about it. That poor guy hadn't been coached since the day he walked into the building at Hallis Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ready to, which brings up another thing. Okay, I'm not ready to put a white flag on Justin Fields, because you know what? When you see those flashes are rare. Some of the throws, is he perfect? No. But he is a very unique player with a very unique skill set. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's still, 23 years? Is it turned 24 yet? You know, he might be at most 24. Hell, there's quarterbacks in this. There's like a half a dozen quarterbacks in this draft that are the same age as he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now let's change the subject a little bit and go to the weak or soft trade market. That is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard. Mm. And here's the reason being. It's soft for what? For anybody who wants to steal them. Yeah. and that's who is reporting to or giving to national media people, it's a soft market, they can't move them. No, you think Ryan Poles is going to give them away? Mm-hmm. Why should he? He was a first round pick and he's got a very unique skill set. So if I'm me, I'm not taking a two. I want a one. Why shouldn't I get that and hold out for that?
Yeah. Well, and that's why I put a poll out there today, you know, saying if this plays out that the Bears, Ryan Poles feels that Caleb is worthy of the number one overall draft pick, selects him, but the trade market is not what Ryan Poles expects from Justin Fields, what do you do? And the choices were you have both in on the team and let them fight out for the number one position. I didn't think so either. And then the other choice was you trade him. You get whatever you can for him, and you just give the clubhouse and the team over to Caleb Williams. Those were the two choices I put out there. It was 80%. Trade Justin for whatever you can, if that is the hypothetical, that the Bears fall in love with Caleb Williams. And when you
got one question. It's 2 years from now, and Caleb isn't living up to the hype. Mm-hmm. JF is playing pretty damn good. What do you think all these people are going to be saying then? They're going to forget about what they're saying now.
Yeah.
Because they don't think with logic. They jump on a bandwagon and they have a narrative. You know as well as I do. You know that they're going to, they got short-term memories and they don't really know how, I don't want to say it sounds mean that way, but I'm going to say they don't know how to think by themselves. They know how to think by themselves, but they don't really understand the big picture as it pertains to running a professional athletic organization. I don't care if it's basketball, hockey, baseball, or football. You know, there's ways you do things, and you got to be careful, you know, who you bring in the locker room. Basketball. Mm-hmm. Has a lot of problems because of that. First of all, you only got five guys playing. You know, 15 guys on the team total. And because some of the greatest ones are the biggest a-holes in the world, you got to deal with it. And they end up running the team, and the coach has no say. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can't have that in football because football is the – optimal team sport. It is the team sport
more than any other of the professional sports.
Right.
You know, and one guy doesn't turn the wheels. 22 turn the wheels.
Right. I will say this, though, Greg. I am a little worried about trade value for Justin only because there are so many promising quarterbacks in this draft. Plus, you got Kirk Cousins, who is going to demand a lot of money, but Russell Wilson really won't or can't because his deal is his deal. So he's going to be a bargain, say, if Atlanta wants to go with Russell as a bridge quarterback or some other team. So it seems to me, I'm concerned as a Bears fan, that the scenario is leaning towards not getting as much in return from just for a trade for Justin, because there's a lot of, you know, Penix looked good at the combine, and, you know, JJ McCarthy is a promising quarterback. These are guys that, you know, teams might say, I'd rather take him than take Justin, despite the fact that he's young, but he's coming up with a big contract decision after the 2024 season. And he could, you know, what do you do then? For a guy who still has not proven that he is a real, true franchise quarterback.
There's one fallacy out there that's saying they got to pick up the fifth-year option. No, they don't. Make them earn the fifth-year option. Okay, so that throw that one out the window. And I lost my whole train of thought there, but I want to go back to one thing.
Sure.
Caleb Williams had the intangibles of J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be jumping on the table.
I think a lot of people would.
Agree with you. that's what I want. That's what I expect from Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know, when you got those type of intangibles, that's very, very important. Whoever drafts JJ going to be a very happy team. Will he ever be an all-pro? Who the hell knows? I mean, hell, the last guy picked in the draft 2 years ago just went to the Super Bowl and was voted into the Pro Bowl in year two of his career.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not where you get taken. And the best quarterback of all time was the sixth-round pick.
Unbelievable. Willie makes a good point here. Caleb is a brand, not just a football player. Entitled diva players never lose their stripes. Caleb stated he's never had a plan B. He's in his life. It's his way because he's a rebel. And I think that's a good read on Caleb Williams.
No, that's good. Well,
he does feel special.
He's the first of the NIL, big money NIL players to come into the league.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So everybody else came in with a little hunger.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got millions in his pocket. Yeah. So that, in his mind, entitles him, and I think I'm using the right word there, entitles him to play the game the way he wants to play the game. Now, and I'm not talking football. I'm talking the process. We're going to do it my way.
Well, Wright writes here, after spending 5 days in Indy, the ultimate consensus from most scouts is CW is the better talent, but I can confirm what Greg said on the question on leadership and arrogance. It was, you know, permeating throughout Indianapolis. Thanks, Will, for that. Saw great pictures of you, like with just about every notable player side by side. Great job. All right, I want to turn my question to a few other things, because we talked about almost an hour about Caleb, but there was some other news at the combine, and one of the things that really impressed me was Rome Odunze. This guy is the ex wide receiver the Chicago Bears desperately need to team up with DJ Moore, and he has such his interviews at the press conference were fantastic, and his work ethic was unbelievable. We saw him after the workouts were done still trying to get the score he wanted on the three cone technique. It was sensational. What are your thoughts on Rome Odunze?
Well, the reports I got are on the team interviews. Knocked it out of the park.
Mm.
you know, just every single one. And I got a follower who I converse with a lot on X DMs, who is a Washington alum. He might have played football. I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he lives out in Seattle, but he's a Bears guy. And he's way up here on Roma Dunze. Now, in all honesty, I thought Rome would have run a little faster. But when you look at, there's nothing wrong with 4.45, and he's a big guy. but when you look at the overall workout, it was tremendous. But this wide receiver class is very big, very deep. And there's a lot of those guys. And probably the two best haven't even worked out yet. You know, I tweeted out when Brian Thomas ran his 4.34, and he jumped out of the building too. He had a great workout. The other LSU wide receiver, I said, if Brian Thomas is 4.34, what the hell is Neighbors? Because Neighbors mm-hmm. plays a lot faster than Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if anything, it's like, well, no wonder Daniels was so good. Look what he was throwing to. I mean, mm-hmm. he has two top 10 receivers, potentially top 10 receivers that he was throwing to.
Like indeed. Yeah.
But, you know, look at this. It's, fun. It's funny because Xavier Worthy, I had as a late first.
Yeah.
And I love his tape. When I started doing his tape, my concern was how big he is, but my comp is Devonta Smith, who the Eagles took with, what, the sixth pick in the draft, something like that.
That's right. That's right.
He's a skinny kid. So, I mean, this guy doesn't get hurt. He's played in every game for 3 years, and he's a return guy. He's a damn good return guy.
With that speed, so, he broke the record for the 40. For those
you
know who don't
know. You know what's funny? When he ran that second one in 4.21? Now, watch this. So, keep it, if you can, keep it going. Yeah. I think he's running faster there than he was during the board. He like had an extra little burst.
He did. He is special. There's no doubt about it. Now, you had him going late in the first. You think he helped himself and could become, you know, in the 20s maybe? Well,
when you get that kind of speed,
mm-hmm.
people are going to say, what can I do with that? I mean, he plays that fast.
Yeah. And he runs decent routes.
Yeah.
He's a good route runner.
Now, they have good – they got Mitchell, too, opposite him. He mm-hmm. only ran 4.34. He's slow. Mm-hmm. You know, some good, good players. I'll tell you the guy, Xavier Legette, 4.39 at 6'1", 222. The only thing I didn't like, I'll tell you, one of the drills that I put a lot of emphasis on wide receivers is the gauntlet.
Okay. Yeah.
Why? What's so important about the gauntlet? The gauntlet is hand-eye coordination, find the ball and catch it. And you mm-hmm. got to do it instantaneously, like you right. know, six times running through that thing. And yes. Legette struggled a little bit on the gauntlet. Franklin from Oregon was terrible. He was weaving. They wanted him to run straight.
Yeah.
And right. he was like this, you know, mm-hmm. and then you see guys like McConkie.
Oh, my goodness. I was just thinking.
It's like, it was like he was glued to the line.
Yep.
But and Adunze was the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's how quickly you can find the ball and then adjust your hands. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to body catch. They want you to hand catch and adjust to the ball. So it's an excellent hand-eye coordination type test. And I always put that up here amongst, you know, all the drills they're doing. Now, there's some routes that some of these guys have trouble with because they never had to run them in college. And some of those are those deep comebacks where they got to plant their foot and then come back. At about 15 yards, whatever. That's just a route they don't run in college. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can see him struggle with the breakdown at the top of the route
and then come back because they're not used to doing it. But, you know, that's a coaching thing. You got to take the talent. And if the guy's got a brain and he's got the athleticism, you just practice it enough, give him enough reps, he's going to be fine at it. But really, that group as a whole, and I can't wait to see Harrison and Neighbors work out. I don't think Harrison breaks 4.4, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to be a lot faster. I'm really wondering what Neighbors is going to run, especially the way his teammate ran.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But that's not until like the 25th or something like that. It's late in the month.
Yeah. Back to the quarterback question. Someone's asked a question here that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Ninja, early on, I think before the show started, asked, what is Greg's ranking in the top four quarterbacks in this year's draft?
Yeah. Okay, now here I'm contradicting myself. Who's the best quarterback? Caleb.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that. Best talent. My argument is something else. Then I think it's a toss-up between Daniels and JJ. And with May 4th, people say, JJ, well, you can't blame. And I thought they did the interviews really well when they talked to him on TV. Well, you were in a position that you didn't have to carry your team, which is 100% true, but that's their offense. And you can't blame him for their offense. Pep said, good friend of the show, Pep Hamilton, and he used to be the OC at Michigan. And Pep was there on the field the whole time because he works for the NFL Network. Pep said, the only problem with JJ is that I might have said this before, he's got an offensive lineman for an offensive coordinator who calls plays like an offensive lineman. So, he goes, put him in some of these other offenses and he'll light that sucker up.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, but hey, you know what his record is as a starter? 28-1. And wow. He won a national championship, got to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Justin got to the playoffs once. He's won a national championship. He did exactly what he's supposed to do, and the intangibles are off the charts. So,
indeed,
Daniels throws as good a deep ball as you'll ever see. I don't get why he didn't weigh and measure. And the same with Neighbors. I mean, what's the big deal here?
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to rewrite how things have been done, some of the players.
That's, by all indications, great kid. Mm-hmm. Really good kid, well-liked. Mom, she tries to run the show. His mom is like Caleb's dad from people in the agent community. But the kid is way up here. Losing my train of thought again here.
Happens to me when I don't get good night's sleep.
Daniels has got to, you got to get him on the board. They ran a good offense there. I mean, that guy, their OC is now at Notre Dame. And he'd been at Notre Dame two separate times, so it's his third stint now at Notre Dame. He ran a really good offense. They had the most productive offense in college football last year. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the skill people they had, it's almost impossible not to. Some people want to know what Daniels is going to weigh. Is it a real weight? I said, what was he afraid of that he didn't want to get weighed and measured? It's like not a big deal. What's funny is that go back to 2003, Rex measured an even 6'1". Rex had short arms, so he looked shorter. And he had kind of a squatty body, but he was an even 6'1". And they're very precise at the combine. They make you put all your weight on the heels and they make you lift up your toes. So there's no way you can, bridge up on your toes to get an extra half inch or something. Right. And But anyway, there were still people that were doubting it because he looked shorter. So it gets to his pro day in Florida, and they asked him to measure again. He goes, no, I was 6'1". I'm staying there. And, you know, kind of laughed about it.
And, I love it.
But I know, having been at these things a gazillion times, you can't cheat.
Yeah.
You can cheat in a pro day. You can't cheat at the combine. They got too many things in place to prevent that from happening.
Good stuff. What about this defensive tackle? Cornelius wanted to know if he could play the three tech, and that is Braden Fisk, who really was impressive at the combine. And if you look at his tape, it's also equally impressive. Violent hands, has a great, you know, killer instinct. I doubt that the Bears are going to draft a defensive tackle, but you never know.
No,
you know how the board
last year. No, he's got good tape. You know, he went to Western Michigan for 4 years and then went down to Florida State for this past year. Had a good year. There's only one negative on him. He's got really short arms.
Yeah.
He's got 31-inch arms. But now there's two comps. And both of them went in the first round. One is Ed Oliver. Fisk is taller. Mm-hmm. But they've got those similar real short arms. And Oliver just, you know, got a second contract, hit a home run on the second contract last year. And the other was last year's pick, Kalijah Kancey.
Wow.
Who has even shorter arms. He has like 30 3/4-inch arms. And played pretty well as a rookie. I don't know if he played up to that. The status of where he got drafted, but he played pretty darn good.
I mean,
and he's, you know, played in the rotation, very explosive player, and that's what Fisk is. Now, there is rumor, I have no idea if it's true. I just saw it in print that might have had some problem with the medical. You know, I saw it. So I'm saying it. Does it matter? I don't know. There's just a note there, length matters. Length matters more with the outside than the inside, but length does matter. It's leverage, especially when you're going against, you know, a guard with, say, 34-inch arms. Now, to counter that, generally your guards and centers have the shortest arms of the offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, you see guys with 32.5. Olin had 31.5. You know, and so it's not unusual. So you're playing with guys a little bit more similar to you, but on the outside, it's imperative that you have some length. And one of the – there's a couple defensive ends that I have here that really had less than optimal arm length. Leitu was 32 5/8. You'd like to see 33 minimum.
Yeah.
Mo Camara, who I really like, had 32 3/8, but Mo Camara is 6'1.5". For a 6'1.5 guy, he's got long arms. Dallas Turner was 34 3/8. He's got, you know, tree branches. Chop Robinson was 32.5. But now we go back. Who's probably the best defensive end taken in the last 2 years? Aiden Hutchinson, right? We're not going to get any argument with that.
Right.
32 1/8.
Yeah, not as long as you would like, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's strength, power, explosiveness. But, you know, I think the edge class as a whole really jumped out. There's some really athletic guys there. And their production does not match how they worked out. And with that position, you're drafting, somebody says, is it too much length?
Yeah, can that be a problem, having too much length? Okay, go ahead.
I think inside it can be. Offensive lineman, we had a guard we signed as a free agent. Don't remember his name. I think he was with Tennessee. And he had like 35.5-inch arms, which are tackle arms.
Yeah.
but he was a little slow with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal opinion was because they were so damn long. Ideal to me for a guard or a center, ideal is 32 and a half to 33 and a half. You know, and that, yeah, can you be too long? But for a tackle, you know, you want all the length you can have. Because yeah. it's getting that separation from the edge guy on the other side.
Yeah. All right, I got more questions here. Let's go with KK says, Greg, how do you rank this draft class as a whole historically in comparison to drafts that you've watched over the last 30 plus years, 40 years of your life? How does this draft class rank?
You know, it's an interesting question because analysts rank draft classes by what's at the top of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there star power at the top of the draft? Okay. This year you got some star power because you got some pretty good quarterbacks.
Right.
Okay. So you said, and there's a lot of, there's a great wide receiver class. There's this great offensive tackle class. You know, a couple of these guys may end up being guards once they get into the league. I think it's better edge class than people are getting credit for. And the workout showed that some real athletic guys, some of them are still young. Like Chuck Robinson's like just turned 21, like 6 weeks ago, you know, mm-hmm. he's still a baby. Mm-hmm. And Dallas Turner is a real young guy. And some people say, well, is he too small? You know, Alex Brown was 248 pounds when we drafted him. They're going to get bigger.
Yeah, right.
You know, and in this game, that girth to play that position, that this girth doesn't matter as much. You got to have speed to be able to get up field. And Gakwe was only 245 coming out, 243. I don't think he's ever played it over 255. And he may not have played at that, but he's really strong.
Somebody is going to edit together all your comments about length and girth and, and put together a pornographic advice. I'm not going to do it. All right. A couple more questions and we'll get out of here. Ask Greg if he stands by the fact that the Bears won't take Caleb. I don't think he said that, Chicago Sports Radio. Anyway.
Oh, I did a long time ago. I do not want them to take Caleb. I think, well, okay, look at what do they need? What do they have? Because I try to look at the big picture. I'm not looking at one player. I'm trying to look at a whole team. And yes, I believe JF is a lot better player than we have seen. And I also believe that Shane Waldron, especially after I saw what he did with Geno Smith, can get that. Because Geno Smith was freaking terrible.
Right.
And he got him in a Pro Bowl in year one. Okay. Geno Smith didn't have half of what Justin Fields is. So given all that, you know, you look at, okay, what do we have draft capital? Two ones, no two,
one, two,
a three, a four, two fives. That's it. No six and seven. And that goes back to the how good the draft is that I didn't finish. I don't know about the depth here because you got so many less underclassmen in this draft than we've had in the last few years. Yes. So is not having a sixth and a seventh much of an impediment, you know,
mm-hmm.
because that I think that, you know, the top four rounds are excellent. Maybe top five rounds are really good, and good scouting organizations are going to find good players in six and seven, regardless of how many players are there, because you find people that can play. But I'd still, you know, I'd still want as many of those late picks as I can get because you know you're going to hit in some.
All right.
But anyway, you don't have two. The second round in this draft is huge. I was going to do the exercise. I never got to it today. How far back you got to trade at 9 to have enough points to get a 2? You know, okay. And I just didn't get it done before we started, but it's an interesting exercise to go through.
I've got the draft chart here, but it's hieroglyph.
Yeah, it's okay. 9 is 1,350 points. Right. Okay, so let's say a mid 2 is 450 points. So you got to go back 18. You got drafted like another 9 slots or something like that to be able to maybe a little less than that to be able to, you know, get a 2. How driven is the team to move up?
Yeah.
That's just, you use that as just a guide.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of it's determined by, you know, who's the player they're really, they're not going to tell you who they want, but who do they want? How badly do they want them? You know, and so are they willing to pay? But put it this way, they got to drop down a pretty good sum to be able to get a 2. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you trade out a 1, you're going to get all that. And more, and a 1 next year. So, what is that in building a team, putting a whole team together? What's better?
Okay, trade that pick.
Okay, now here's to me. This is the key, and J2K just brought it up. We're going to have a lot of answers. Let's forget about Caleb. Forget about Justin. What the thought process? A lot of that, I think, I'm not sure, is going to be answered next Monday.
I agree.
Good thing we're doing this show on Tuesday next week.
Yes, indeed.
The last year, Aldo and I were talking about this before we came out in the air, they signed Edwards an agreement, you know, can't sign the deal until next Wednesday. Had an agreement within the first 30 minutes of free agency with TJ Edwards. So yeah, is there shit going on right now? Of course there is. They've got what are the important needs? Okay, on offense, you have to get at least 2 receivers between the draft and the and free agency. Because right now you only got 1, so you got to get a slot. You got to get a starting slot, and you got to get a starting X. Mm-hmm. You have to get a center. You don't want to draft a center. First of all, you don't have 2. You're not going to take that big monster from Oregon with a 9th pick. It's just not going to happen. And especially if you end up with Caleb, the last thing you want is a rookie center. Now you're the middle of your offense is 2 rookies. You've got to have a veteran. So I think one of the first signings they're going to have is going to be a veteran center. And okay, you don't have to break the bank on a center. To me, the key is, because let's say they can't get out of 9. Let's do what I don't want them to do when they take Caleb. So now you get to 9. What are you going to do? Well, you can take a receiver or you can take an edge. You don't have a 2, and the edge class isn't deep that you're going to get an edge in the 3rd. One that's going to, you know, jump out and help you. So, I mean, you could get lucky, but you know, luck has to run into that. So what do you do? Well, better sign one in free agency. Or they can go out and sign a
free agent receiver, say Gabe Davis from the Bills would be an ideal X. Scott Trek estimates his contract value at 13 and a half, give or take a couple hundred thousand, unless they've changed it in the last few days. Personally, that's probably a little light, but you know, you're going to have to spend money.
Right.
If they go out and spend money on both of those positions, it's all over. They're drafting Caleb.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
All right, Bear Truth 9, that was sort of answered your question that you posted a little while ago. Let's get a few more questions in here. Does it worry you that Caleb, we talked about this, not having an agent, does that spell trouble for the Bears if we draft them? It is concerning anytime a player doesn't have an agent. We are starting to see more and more of it. The players want to be in the room. They want to hear what's being said of them. They want to eliminate that 10% that agents usually get. What are your thoughts?
3% max.
Oh, really? 3? Okay. I thought it was more.
That's the rule with the NFLPA and the agents. And they don't have to charge 3%.
Okay, so
that's
it could be less.
The max they can charge.
Oh.
So
if they hire a lawyer to
say, they can't hire him. He's got to be certified.
Gotcha.
But they have hired to answer that question. They have hired a agent / attorney, because he's both, as an advisor. They can bring him in to do the contract because he's certified with the NFLPA. I mean, this guy, I know who this guy is. He's had some huge, semi-retired now, but he's had some big, big, big clients. And he can very easily, if that's what they want to do the contract. Dad can have no say in what, as far as being involved in the discussion. No say as far as conversation with the Bears. Let me clarify that.
Okay.
He can have conversation with the people he hires all he wants, but when it gets to sitting down and negotiating, that has to be a certified NFLPA agent.
Gotcha. All right. Next question we have here. Let's see. That's the question we just answered. Which quarterback would you draft if they traded Justin Fields? So let's say, hypothetical here, that the Bears get an outstanding offer for Justin Fields. They're not happy with Caleb. What are you going to do about the quarterback position?
They're going to trade down and then take a quarterback with one of the others.
Which of those quarterbacks would you prefer at this point of your evaluation process?
I think it would be one of Daniels or McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. So Drake May out.
I don't think he's in the same sentence as the other two. Okay, now he may be for other teams. But I just think, I have heard, going back to middle of last season, end of last season, college season, that Poles had a real, I don't know if affinity is the right word to use, but really like the makeup of JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Does that like the makeup enough to draft him? I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
But he's an intriguing guy, and people, and it's turning out to be true because you're hearing more and more his name more and more. Is that I was told by several people going into the combine, the hot name coming out after they got through the interviews was going to be JJ, because he was going to blow everybody away in the interview process. And when he only could do a little on the board in 20 minutes, but even in that little on the board, he was going to his intellect is just way up here.
Yeah.
And he thinks real quickly.
I'm telling you, don't sleep on Michael Penix. I really believe this kid is going to have a fine NFL career. I love his arm strength.
Go ahead. Arm strength and all that. Yeah, that's a good thing you brought that up, because it happens all the time. I thought they'd make a bigger deal out of Leitu than they did. They really didn't do anything except Stacey and Biden. Did Stacey Dales do an unbelievable freaking job or what?
She was
great. Indeed. I mean, she was trading in Kim Jones, getting Stacey Dales for Kim Jones. That was like trading an undrafted free agent for a first rounder.
Would you trade Mark Potash for Stacey?
Stacey Dales did an unbelievable job. And
she's excellent.
The way she interacts with the players is excellent. And she's an athlete herself, so she knows how to do it. She's a pretty damn good basketball player. But I lost my train of thought again. I must be getting old.
Well, you didn't get any sleep. That's the problem.
I know.
But you were talking about Penix.
Yeah, Penix has got the physical tools. My only negative on his mechanics is that he's got a long delivery. He doesn't have a short, tight one. Throws a really nice ball. He had three top receivers to throw to. He had a good team, good offense. Was the medical. That's the point I was trying to get to. Okay, so they say, by all counts, he's good. Well, that means one or two teams said they got information from one or two teams that gave him a thumbs up. That does not mean all 32 teams gave him a thumbs up.
Oh,
medical grades are like scouting grades. They vary from team to team. And, 15 teams might have given thumbs up and 15 others might have gone thumbs down. And that's very – and the same thing with Leitu. Now, the good news about Leitu, because I think we've talked about it a lot, was I know I could not find what the surgery was. I asked people. I Googled it. I did everything. He had neck surgery. What was the surgery? Nothing. Couldn't find it. Stacy had it.
Stacey
he had a fusion. And as soon as she said that, I went, oh, my God. That was like the best thing she ever said. There's scores of players in the league playing with a neck fusion.
Mm-hmm. What exactly is that, Greg? I don't understand.
Put the glue, for lack of a better term, glue the two vertebrae together.
All right. So the
I got two fusions right here. All right. You can't see that.
Right
here
there.
And here, both my thumbs. It's congenital. They both confused. So I'm like, get my hand over here. From here to here, it's all one bone now. Instead of, I don't have any flexibility here at the base of my thumb. So with him, it's in the neck. Now, what we don't know is what vertebrae that does play into the equation. If it's like one and two, that's not ideal. But if it's down, say three or four or something like that, then it's like, so what? As long as the surgery was good, and the MRI is going to show that, and he's played 2 years without incident, has missed practice time. In fact, he had a special collar that he wore. And not the Phil Villapiano collar like they used to have, but it was just a little tiny thing in the back. He wore it in 22. He did not wear it in 23, which I thought was a positive. But being that's what the surgery was, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to say most teams, if not every team, probably went thumbs up. Unless the MRI proved to be it wasn't a spectacular surgery.
And that's what you tweeted out. You posted that the fusion thing you know, you were grateful for it, but that you just wanted to make sure it was a good surgery in terms of the doctors who performed it did a good job, is how I interpreted
it. Right. And you know, and I purposely seeked out some orthopedics that I know, and this is going back weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, until we find out, or they find out exactly what he had done, then we can figure out. We had a player in New York we drafted in the first round. He hurt his neck in his first year and had a fusion. He missed the rest of the season, was played next year. That guy was interviewed for the wide receiver job here. Didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Joe had a question earlier. Says, okay, wait, the Bucs are letting Mayfield walk because he isn't the guy, but his free agency value is higher than Justin Fields. Will we even get a third or fourth rounder for Justin Fields?
He didn't get traded if that's all you're going to get.
Really? Why you don't think so?
That's stupid. No, you're not going to trade him for that. That's stupid.
If you settled for a third round draft pick, you'd want a conditional pick for, you know, if he has a great season in 2033, you'd want a second round pick.
If I'm Ryan, I'm saying I want one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to settle for one, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's in the driver's seat. The only problem they have is it's out there that he might get traded. And so when that's out there, that can weaken your position because the other teams are automatically saying, well, they're getting rid of him. Why should I pay for him?
Right.
So now it gets down to, yeah, but he's still here. You want him, pay for him.
Yeah. Jeff Wallace.
The dominoes will fall on that as you get an appreciation. Now, getting back to the last comment about Mayfield, I have not, unless something happened today, everything I've seen coming out of Tampa is they want him back.
That's what I've heard, too, so I was surprised at that comment.
Did something happen today? That they're trying to get a deal done. They got the deal with the receiver done last night. Now they want to get a deal done with Baker.
Yeah, that's my anticipation that that's going to happen. Jeff Willis wanted to know that he was surprised about Audric Estime's 40 time, though the rest of his numbers look pretty good. Do you think that time, that 40-yard dash time, will affect his draft position? And where do you think what's his range in terms of where he's going to be drafted? I speculated like fifth round he might still be there.
I don't know if he could be there in fifth round. He's pretty damn good. The 40 was disappointing, but then he put on the tape, and you don't see him get caught. In fact, there's one game.
I remember that. He scored three touchdowns.
But one of the fastest guys in the draft couldn't catch him. And they were showing – I might have saw it on a Notre Dame website or something, but they're going, yeah, he's 4.72, but the guy trying to – chase him was a 4.3 something and didn't even come close to catching him. He's got game speed or play speed, you know. So, I think five's too low. Look at the guy, look at history, look what you get the good players you get on day three at running back position. Always, yeah,
very much. You know? Yes, indeed.
So, he's probably going to be a day three.
Yeah,
I'll say four. You know, because of the 4.72, tell you get him in the fifth round, you got a starting back you just stole. Because he's good.
Greg, next week is the 12th. Are we having a special guest next week?
We're supposed to have Peter. I'm supposed to. He's out in the West Coast visiting one of his two daughters. Supposed to contact him in the middle of the week. And then we'll go from there.
Excellent.
Obviously, you know, that'll be part whether we open up with Peter or open up with free agency. That remains because my opinion is they're going to be deals with at least three new Bears by next Monday night.
Well, and to get Peter's opinion on that at the top of the show would be very interesting. He's retired, but you know he's still hearing a lot of things. Peter King is scheduled to be our guest.
Because I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to get up and then I'm going to tweet out. Having a Monday morning without Peter King is like different. And there was another article today, and I think it was done a while ago. It was a lot of letters and stuff like that. Actually, very little that he had already done. But it was like, yep, one more little piece, which was nice.
Yeah. I hope
he's really a good, good person.
Yeah. Everybody says so. And by the way, did you know Chris Mortensen at all?
Yes. Yes.
Any thoughts on his passing that you want to share?
So sad. Yeah. I tweeted out a few things. I'll tell you when I got to know Chris. I mean, obviously, he was already up here, but I think it was 04. I think it was Lovey's first year.
Mm-hmm.
The ESPN bus drives up, and I don't remember who was in there with Chris, but they were there for 2 days, and we had a blast. You know, Jerry's like, you got to show them around. So I spent a lot of time with him.
Awesome.
And we were in the bus. We were over at TJ's. You've been to TJ's, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nicest guy. And since then, we have, kept up a friendship. He might call me about an opinion on certain players. I mean, it's not like you talk once a week, but like this time of the year, like with Peter, this time of the year, you talk more than other times, but he would sometimes send me a DM. He'd see something I tweeted and send me a DM. One of the most genuine people that I've ever met. Been through a hell of a lot over, say, the last 10 years, from health reasons. Gone way too soon. But such a sweet person. And I don't know if you saw DJ's tribute. Mm-hmm. And I sent DJ a note after. I said that was I'll read what I sent to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great moment. A lot of great tribute.
I mean, he was literally crying. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I remember.
I said, love you to more. So honest and sincere. You're a good person, just like he was, and I'm sure he's proud. God bless. DJ is a super, super guy, but Mort took DJ under his wing and became his mentor. And so Mort meant a lot to DJ, and that shook him up, which was very, very obvious. But indeed. Just I knew John Clayton. I don't want to tell the story.
Sure.
Because I got to know John Clayton really well, too. In fact, Clayton might have been there, too. Clayton was. No, because it was a little after that on Clayton. Clayton used to always kill the Bears, if you recall. This is going back. I remember, there was somebody told me, like, after we did something in the draft, he was like saying, can you believe what the Bears did? Kind of take a shot. He just didn't like the way we were doing business. So fast forward. Now, I had that surgery in 02 where I had a bad case of diverticulitis, and I had to have actually two surgeries. We don't want to get all into that. Put it this way. My colon's not nearly as big as it was 20 years ago. 18 inches is in some garbage can over at Lake Forest Hospital. Anyway, John has it gets the same problem. It has to have the same surgery.
Wow.
Somebody told me about it. So I said, you know what? This guy hates us, and this is an opportunity to win him over. So, in fact, it might have been Mort I got from. I got his phone number, and he was in the hospital. I called him. Now, he knew who I was, but he didn't know me.
Okay.
And I said, I just wanted to reach out. I had the surgery. I've been through it. I know what you're going to go through. And, now with the upgrades they do in medicine, everything's done laparoscopically.
Right.
You know, I got a scar this long. Anyway, I ended up talking to him over the next few weeks, probably a half a dozen times. And we became good friends, talked a lot then after that. He never once said a bad thing about the Bears again. Never once. And I I just want to clear this with you because this guy has been like killing us for a few years here. And I said, I think we can hit a home run. He goes, do it. So, you know, PR is important. So,
it sure is.
You know, that's what happened. And John Clayton was another really good person.
Yeah.
You know, and those were two of the original insiders.
Mm-hmm.
Really well connected. Schefter came after them.
Right.
And it's they're all gone, and it's sad.
It really is. It really is. Well, I can think of no better way to end the show than for you to reply to Hair Bear, who asked this question. Dwayne Allman.
Hair Bear, my man.
Dwayne Allman or Alvin Lee? Who's the better guitarist?
Oh, shit.
That's a tough one.
Well, okay. I got a long answer here. Hair Bear, my roommate in college was a Alvin Lee nut. Great guitarist. And he had he spent days and maybe even a couple weeks learning the Woodstock version of Going Home down to the last eighth note. He had everything perfect, including the facial expressions. So, and he looked a lot like him. I mean, his hair was the same way. And so that, you know, Alvin Lee, I always held in high regard. But damn, Dwayne Allman, he's so damn freaking good. I mean, there's a story. Eric Clapton, you know, Dwayne Allman is on the Layla album.
Yeah.
When it was Derek and the Dominoes, they sneaked out Dwayne Allman to do the slide guitar stuff on that. And he's playing the slide on Layla. And he's on all the tracks in the album. But Clapton asked Allman to join his band, which then was Derek and the Dominoes. Okay. And Allman turned him down. Said, I'll do the album, but I'm not leaving my brother. You know, and I'm not leaving the Allman Brothers, which says a lot about Dwayne Allman. But they became really close. And, you know, that was a shocker when he died. But, you know, that's my other love of my life. We don't need to talk about that. But I love.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing these stories.
And blue music.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the treats of following you on X is that you share some of your music preferences and some great guitar performances. So I'm learning a lot. Good stuff. All right, to everyone in the chat.
We got to talk for a second after when you get off.
You got it. To everyone in the chat, thank you very, very much for being such a big part of the show. Your interaction with you was fantastic. Hope you will join us next Tuesday when we're scheduled to have Peter King. And, of course, comment on all of the free agency news because free agency frenzy starts next week. And so we'll be back here live with more football reporting Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central. And every day of the week, there will be fresh live.
I'm hoping that in 2 weeks,
because
both of them said wait till after the combine. So now the combine's over. I got to reach out to DJ and I got to reach out to Dane Brugler.
Dane Brugler.
They both agreed to come on and after the combine. So that would be, I mean, those are going to be fun shows.
Oof,
and
yes.
Then I got a promise from J.J. McCarthy's agent that he would come on after the pro day. But I know he's going to be busy doing
I think we already discussed it. Maybe it's going to have to be a thing we pre-record because he's going to be making the 30 visit tour and private right. workouts and all that. So, you know, getting him nailed down, we might have to just record something and then play it.
Indeed. Whenever he's available, we'll make it easy on him. Wednesday night, by the way, we've got a very special guest. I will leave that as a surprise on Draft on Tap with Danny Shimon. So from all of us at the bar room, thank you very much. And
put up with me. I know I'm an asshole sometimes.